Bonjour. Welcome to a new episode of So French, a podcast about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from our studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Sarah Bertelsson.
And my name is Stefan de Vries. This week, we're going to talk about the new terrorist attack, about the ongoing social unrest, and we cross the North Sea for our Brexit series. We speak with two of the approximately 300,000 French people living in London.
And of course, Maud Descamps is here to bring you a fresh French word of the day.
But first, a new week and unfortunately a new terror act. Many took a deep breath of relief once the Euro 2016 tournament inauguration was over on June 10th and the event went through without an incident. But the respite was short. This week, France was once again horrified by the act of a terrorist.
This time, 25-year-old Larossi Abala killed a police officer outside his home in a Paris suburb before taking the officer's partner and their 3-year-old son hostage. Police negotiations led nowhere, and eventually special forces decided to enter the house, and there they found the body of the partner, the woman, and the son shocked but safe and sound. The assailant killed during the raid. Stéphane, a terror act which was claimed by the Islamic State group, and this was once again a person who was known to the French authorities.
Yes, he was sentenced to a 3-year imprisonment in 2013 for ties with jihadist groups. He may have been involved in getting people to Syria and Iraq. He apparently was able to stay under the radar because he was being watched. His phone was also under surveillance, but he didn't do anything that raised any suspicion. So the question is, was he just very smart, or has he been radicalized only the last couple of weeks because he was not a suspect of anything? So this once again shows that it's very, very hard to control all the lone wolves, as we call them, and that a terrorist act can happen anytime and anywhere.
And the authorities are saying that there are thousands of people, or especially young men, who are under surveillance, and that there is no possibility of actually keeping in control and an eye on all of these.
Yeah, they have a special file that's called the S file, and that's the Secret Services have files on about 10,000 people. That doesn't necessarily mean that these people are terrorists. These are people who can have ties with radical groups. It could also be extreme left activists. It could be journalists. It's a mix of many, many people who could pose a threat to the state. And to keep track of one suspect 24 hours a day, that would take about 15 police officers per person. So there are 10,000 people in this file. That's just technically and logistically impossible. It does, however, raise some questions because he was acting probably all alone. It's not very clear whether he had accomplices. He also claimed himself that he was a fighter of the IS. He even broadcasted the murder on Facebook. And of course, his video, fortunately, was very quickly removed from Facebook. But it shows a new type of terrorist. He was not heavily armed. He only had a knife. And it shows how difficult it is to adapt to the threat that's still there. Now, moving on to another defining feature of the French society, strikes. The last couple of weeks, not only football fans and protesters were filling the streets, but also rotting garbage. After public transportation and fuel stations, France was hit by a walkout by public sector trash workers. From the outside, you can easily get the impression that France's unions are both big and powerful. But that's actually not true, is it, Sarah?
Well, actually, the numbers are not as impressive as you would think. I know that almost all foreigners or people looking in France from the outside have this idea that, yeah, the unions are massive and it's really the people, taking to the streets. But if you look at the numbers, they're actually very, very small. Only 8% of the French workforce is members of a union. 8%.
8%. How does that compare to...
Well, compared, for example, to the Scandinavian countries, the unionization there is about 70%. In the US, where you have a completely different idea of being unionized and things like that, it's 11% of the workforce. So actually fewer French are part of a union than Americans.
Why does it seem that they're so powerful?
Well, it is true that the unions in France, they do negotiate for everybody in a workplace. So even if you're not part of a member of a union, you are included in the rights that are negotiated. So that gives them a quite powerful position when it comes to negotiating rights for workforces. But then, of course, you have this tradition of large demonstrations in the streets. They make a lot of noise and they take up a lot of space in the public debate. But need to remember, they actually are not representing that many members.
And not all the unions are the same. Now, these violent protests are mainly organized by one single union, the CGT, with the ties to the former Communist Party. Why are they so violent and so aggressive?
Well, there is a theory ongoing at the moment, because CGT, as you said, hardcore left-wing union. You have other unions, like, for example, a CFDT, which is a progressive, much more liberal union. And between these two unions, CFDT has over the last years gained more members, while CGT is actually losing. So CGT is losing their influence and their power. So these big protests and very vocal protests that we're now seeing, organized by the CGT, some say that this actually is only like a last attempt by the CGT to show their importance.
Well, the protests are not over. They have announced the new strikes the next couple of weeks. It's all about, of course, the controversial labor law. We will not go on strike, Sarah and me, so we will talk.
We will be here to continue to cover it.
All summer. It's time now for our So French Word of the Week. Maud Descamps is joining us. Bonjour, Maud.
Hi, Stefan.
So what word have you picked for us this week?
Éboueur, waste collectors. For more than a week now, the Parisian dustmen have been on a strike here in Paris to protest against the new labour bill, a strike that has begun a few days before thousands of tourists arrive in Paris for the Soccer Euro 2016 competition. Not a very nice attention to our visitors, let's say. So I was curious about the appearance of the waste collectors and overall about waste management here in France. And, well, it's quite an old business. Louis XII, in 1506, decided that royalty should handle the waste management in Paris. So, at the very beginning of the Renaissance period, was created the Sludge Removal Office. This is when we first heard of sludge people, éboueur in French, meaning people who were in charge of removing the mud in the streets of Paris. But the taxes were too high for Parisians, and the idea of éboueur, cleaning the streets of Paris, was quickly dropped. A few years later, François I decided to sanitize the street of Paris and had the idea of putting baskets in the streets where inhabitants can put their own disposal and workers would collect the baskets a few times a month. Then Louis XIV, Le Roi Soleil, passed a new law that organized the collection of waste around the capital with particular itinerary and precise timetables. It was the very beginning of the waste management. The text also specified that every householder has to clean before his door every day to prevent epidemic, which was a huge issue at the time. Then, on November 1883, a police commissioner called Mr. Poubelle passes a law to organize the collecting of trash everywhere in the capital, employing éboueur dustmen, as we see now every day in Paris. Well, except when they're on strike.
Thanks very much, Maud. Et à bientôt.
All the way until the referendum on June 23rd, we are broadcasting a series of reports about the UK, about its current and future relation to France and the EU. And this week, Stéphane went to London to talk to two of the many French living in the British capital and who are both worried about a possible Brexit.
This train is now ready to depart. Please stand clear of the closing doors.
I'm walking around Canary Wharf, the business district east of the city. Amidst the shiny towers, I meet up with two Frenchmen in a local pub. Michael, who's the head of the London section of the French Socialist Party, and Philip, who works in one of the many banks here. He just obtained a British passport.
So what are you going to vote on June 23rd?
I'm definitely going to stay in the EU. I mean, it's the main reason why I got the British citizenship. EU nationals, even if they've been here for like more than 10 years, like that's my case, they're not allowed to go and vote. So I started all the exams and all the paperwork for the British citizenship last year, and I acquired a citizenship in December. So I only did that to be able to vote.
And Michael, what do you think what will happen on the 23rd of June?
To be fair, in all honesty, I think the Britain will stay in the Union, even if it's going to be a tight race.
You're the head of the London section of the Socialist Party, which is also the government party in France, of course. Do you think that the French government has done enough to keep Britain on board?
I would say yes and no. Yes, to the extent that François Hollande did meet with David Cameron when there was those discussion over renegotiating some part of the treaties. There's not much to be done from the French perspective, I would say, or from any foreign country's perspective, because as you may observe here in the UK, when Christine Lagarde or Barack Obama are pledging for a stay, or even Jean-Claude Juncker, can be seen as interference in national politics, and it's usually doing more bad than good.
Now, there are an estimate 250,000 to 300,000 French people living in London alone. If there's a Brexit, will they all take the Eurostar on the morning of the 24th of June?
Very unlikely. I think that if the UK is leaving the European Union, that's a process that's going to take from 5 to 10 years. The bilateral negotiation will take forever, as well as the negotiation with the European institution, the Union Summit, the Parliament. So no, it's not going to happen overnight.
Now, Philip, you've just become British. What about the French people living here? Do you think they're afraid of a Brexit?
I don't think they want to think about it, because it's one thing, like everyone say, oh, we should say, but there is, I don't see any clear plan of like the Brexit camp to say, oh, we'll do this if we exit. So I think they're more, all the French friends I have, they don't really want to think about it. They're a bit in denial, and they're all like, oh, we'll be fine, we're French, it's going to be okay, they're not going to kick us out. Well, how do you know? You have no clue, right? I mean, the time they get out of the EU, what happened? You have no visa, and it's going to take some time to sort this out, but you might be required to get a visa within 2 years. You might be required to, do some more paperwork, to have an ILR, indefinite leave to remain, and so on. I think, it's slight dose of denial.
Now, if you have to put your money on the outcome, what would you bet?
I put my money where my mouth is. I bought my flat here. I have my job here. I've got half of my friends here. I've got my girlfriends here. I'm going to bet it's going to remain. my hedge is really just acquiring the British citizenship. So whatever happens, I'm okay.
Michael, your money?
Yeah, I think I'm going to bet on the stay as well, although it's been a hard campaign, and I feel like home here, like a lot of other French citizens.
This train is now ready to depart. Please stand clear of the closing doors.
You will find this and all previous reports on our website at sofrench.news/Brexit.
And that wraps up this episode of So French. Follow us on Twitter at So French News. And if you have any questions or suggestions, please send us an email. Our address is sofrench@sofrench.news.
And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast in iTunes or in SoundCloud. And you can now also find us on the TuneIn Radio application. And don't forget to share So French with your friends. We will be back actually in 1 week, next week, with a special edition of So French. It's on the Brexit or no Brexit. We hope you will join us then.
Thanks for listening to this episode of So French.
Au revoir.
Au revoir.